Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete.
On today's show, we'll be talking about some novel software being developed for camera and web accessibility. Our seemingly low-tech item is Quickie, which we will describe to you if you've never heard of it. The focus topic will be some active research that's going on at the University of Rochester. And the high-tech item will be an application for a cell phone camera to help the blind actually take better photographs. Last week, we welcomed some of our newer stations that were broadcasting Viewpoints. And we were just thinking, you know, maybe there's some other stations out there that people are listening to this show on. And we'd like to encourage you to contact us and let us know if you're listening on another station. You can send an email to reachout@wxxi.org or call us at 585-258-0333.
We'd like to know who you are.
But first, we're going to turn to our tip of the week. This week's tip is that you should embrace technology instead of being afraid of it and all of the myriad of changes and new things, because really, there's a lot of helpful stuff out there.
Right. The problem is there's a lot of stuff and it changes pretty quickly. And sometimes it's quite daunting to keep up with that and find out what's new, learn new technologies, new gadgets. You know, Nancy and I are in a little bit of a beneficial situation because we're kind of geeks to begin with our scientific and engineering backgrounds. So a new gadget or a new technology comes along, and that's kind of fun for us. We like playing around with these toys, figuring out what they do. Younger people tend to be good at some of that stuff, too. You notice all the, you know, the teenagers and 20-year-olds are into new gadgets and things like that. But sometimes it's a little bit more difficult for older folks, and you have to learn new skills. You have to be aware of the new technologies or new gadgets that are coming along. But they can really be quite helpful. And a lot of what we cover on this show are things that are relatively new that can help you just in daily living or in your profession or in your recreation. So it's good to stay aware of them. Try them out. Give it a shot. If it doesn't work, that's fine. Sometimes you have to be a little bit persistent, and that's fine too. But try to enjoy it and embrace the technology.
Turning now to our low-ish tech item, we'll be talking about Quickie, what they refer to as a multimedia information experience. It's similar to Wikipedia or an online encyclopedia, except it's in multimedia. And so if you get into Quickie by going to www.qwiki.com, you can enter the name of any topic you're interested in. And what will come back is a slideshow, maybe some small videos, timelines. And while they're displaying all of this, they will also be displaying some text at the bottom and reading the text to you with a synthesized voice, but it's a very nice voice.
So you don't need your own speech synthesizer. You just go to the proper website and it's read for you.
And then they provide pointers to additional sources of information such as YouTube or Wikipedia or whatever. And the thing even runs on an iPad now in addition to a regular computer. So you should be aware that it's still in development. There's still some squeaky spots they need to fix up, but it's pretty cool.
And it is usable.
So we decided we'd try it out and let you hear how it does. The first thing we have a clip of is the Quickie entry for radio reading services.
A radio reading service or reading service for the blind is a service of many universities, community groups, and public radio stations, where a narrator reads books, newspapers, and magazines aloud for the benefit of the blind and vision impaired. It is most often carried on a subcarrier, with radio receivers permanently tuned to a given station in the area. Some reading services use alternative methods for reaching their audiences, including broadcasting over SAP, streaming internet radio, cable TV, or even terrestrial TV. Most AI organizations offer their services at no cost to the listener and require certification that the potential listener is unable to use normal printed material.
That is a pretty nice speech synthesizer. Not bad, huh?
It turns out that this particular entry doesn't have any visual entries to go with it. But the next one we're going to play for you actually has a few photographs and anatomical drawings. But here's what happens when you go to Quickie and type in visual impairment.
Visual impairment is vision loss to such a degree as to qualify as an additional support need through a significant limitation of visual capability resulting from either disease, trauma, or congenital or degenerative conditions that cannot be corrected by conventional means, such as refractive correction, medication, or surgery. Visual impairment is the consequence of a functional loss of vision, rather than the eye disorder itself. The American Medical Association's Guides to the Evaluation of Permanent Impairment attempts to provide a standardized, objective approach to evaluating medical impairments. Visual impairments have considerable economic impact on even developed countries.
So if you want to try that out yourself, just go to www.quickie.com. That's spelled Q-W-I-K-I.
You are listening to Viewpoints, 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 Viewpoints.
This week's focus topic is some ongoing research on novel software to enhance accessibility of the web.
We ran into Jeff Bigham, who runs the lab developing many of these software packages and working on them, about a year ago when we were at a talk at the University of Rochester's Laser Lab. At that talk, he discussed some software he was working on for web accessibility and some other tools he was working on for accessibility. And we kept in contact with Jeff and eventually were invited to his lab to see what was going on, the various kinds of research that were happening, as well as give a presentation of our own to the computer science department there. And this turned out to be a really fun interaction, and we're going to give you an overview of some of the work that's going on in his lab.
So, of course, the afternoon began with us giving them a presentation. Now, we've given this talk many, many times, usually to fourth graders, about living with little or no vision. And we had to modify it a little bit because this was a bunch of professional computer scientists and students in the field, so it got a little bit more technical.
And the talk was basically about the impact of technology through the years on people living with low vision.
Kind of like an introduction to Viewpoints in under an hour. So here's Pete's introduction to the talk so you can see what kinds of things we talked about.
So Jeff told you a little bit about what we're going to talk about. And basically, we're going to review sort of the impact technology has had on folks living with low vision. And so we'll cover a bunch of kind of low-tech things, high-tech things, and how these things have changed over the years. So I'll start out by giving a little bit of background about, you know, myself and where I'm coming from, my vision issues. We'll talk about next a little bit of the statistics about vision loss, vision problems. For those of you that haven't seen Braille, I'll show you a little bit about what Braille is about. And then we'll talk about the types of adaptive aids that people use, like I said, varying from very low-tech to high-tech things. And then the evolution and development of some of the high-tech things, because that's really changed over the years since I was an undergraduate, as you can imagine. Technology's really changed a lot these days. And then I brought in some of my toys to show you some of my little gadgets and stuff that I use, and I'll talk about some of the other current aids, high-tech aids that are on the market these days and that people are finding useful. And then we'll kind of summarize and add, you know, be a chance for questions and stuff like that.
So it was, of course, a very well-received talk. Not only were they very interested in the technology, but as always happens, there's somebody in the room who's got a relative or a friend or a neighbor with a visual impairment, and that person in particular walked off with all sorts of information and some catalogs and contact information. And then we went into Jeff's lab, where we got to meet some of the students and they described some of their projects. So his current major projects are Web Anywhere, which is a free web-based screen reader enabling blind people to access the web on any computer, and that's what we'll be talking about mostly today. VizWiz, which is an iPhone application enabling blind people to recruit sighted workers remotely to help them with visual problems in nearly real time. And over the years, he's worked on a large assortment of projects that are related to enhancing accessibility, such as WebTrax, which is a tool that visualizes the non-visual web browsing styles of people using screen readers so that sighted developers of products for the visually impaired can better understand how their customers are actually working. So this is also, you know, a useful thing. But we're going to be talking mostly about Web Anywhere. And if you go to their website, which is at www.webanywhere, all one word, .cs.washington.edu, you can listen to Jeff Bigham describing the service.
We present Web Anywhere, a self-voicing web browsing web application that quickly makes any computer accessible to screen reader users without requiring new software to be installed. Fulfilling the promise of a web-enabled global community means enabling blind web users to access their information and collaborative web services wherever they happen to be on whatever computer to which they happen to have access. Whether blind web users simply want to check their email at an internet cafe, collaboratively edit a document from a public kiosk at the airport, or use a sighted friend's laptop without worrying about what operating system it's running, taking full advantage of the global web means connecting anywhere. Unfortunately, screen readers are not available on the vast majority of public computers, and many portable alternatives are expensive or are incapable of running on any computer available because they require the user to install new software. Web Anywhere is a screen reading web application that addresses these problems with its unique set of features. Web Anywhere requires no new software to be installed, and therefore requires no special permissions on the client computer. Web Anywhere works with any web-enabled device with the ability to play audio, including most computers and many mobile devices that support web access. Finally, Web Anywhere is quick to start. Only 100 kilobytes of data need to be downloaded before using the system. Web Anywhere exists as a web page divided into two frames. The first is the browser frame, which replicates browser functionality and provides a screen reading interface to both web content and browser functions. The second is the content frame, which loads web content to be read via a web proxy server. Web Anywhere does not seek to improve on the existing screen reader interface, but rather to replicate it in the constrained setting of a web application where it can be run from almost any web-enabled device. To illustrate how Web Anywhere can be used, we present the following video of a blind web user using the system in our own university library. The user enters the library, puts away his cane, and sits down at one of the available computers. The computer does not already have a screen reader installed. The user removes a pair of headphones from his pocket and relatively easily finds the headphone jack on the computer on the desk. The user knows that most computers in the library run the Windows operating system, so he presses Windows key plus R on the keyboard to open a run dialog. He then enters the Web Anywhere URL. He does all of this without audio feedback. Within seconds of typing the URL, the Web Anywhere homepage loads, and the user hears the following.
Page has loaded. The system is initialized and is ready to use.
So that was the original voice that was being used on Web Anywhere. This little description is a couple of years old. They've actually gone to a much better, newer voice. So we cut off the demonstration right there because we didn't want you to think it was that miserable. But there's a link on that site to the site in which you would actually enter Web Anywhere, and it starts talking and describing itself all over again as soon as you get into that site. Jeff suggested doing it from the run menu where you need to enter http://wa.cs.washington.edu, and you can hear Web Anywhere running and even run it yourself from there.
Welcome to Web Anywhere. Heading 1, Web Anywhere. Web Anywhere has been initialized and is now ready to use. Link Web Anywhere is a known visual interface to the web that requires no new software to be downloaded or installed. It works right in the browser, which means you can access it from any computer, even locked down public computer terminals. Web Anywhere enables you to interact with the web in a similar way to how you may have used other screen readers, such as JAWS or WindowEyes. Heading 2, using Web Anywhere. You interact with Web Anywhere using the keyboard. A selection of keyboard commands that are currently supported is listed below. Pressing Shift in combination with them reverses the direction of the search. Searching backward from the current cursor position instead of forward from it, type a URL to visit. Control L. Move the cursor to the location box where you can type a URL to visit. Arrow down. Read the next element on the page. Arrow up. Read the previous element on the page. Tab. Skip to the next link or form control. Control H. Skip to the next heading. Control I. Skip to the next input element. Control R. Skip to the next row by cell when in a table. Control D. Skip to the next column by cell when in a table. Page down. Read continuously from the current position. Home. Read continuously, starting over from the beginning of the page. Control. Silence Web Anywhere and pause the system. Heading 2. Sponsors. English voices brought to you by Image Ivona Text-to-Speech. End of page.
So you might want to try that out. It's pretty easy to get started with. And just to be clear, as Jeff noted, it will work on any web page. Once you get to the Web Anywhere page, you can browse to any other page and have it automatically read to you. But it is not for use with other Windows applications like word processors and mail and things like that, unless you're doing webmail. But it's a very neat program.
And as Jeff reminds you towards the end of the description, you can use it pretty much anywhere.
Importantly, he could have done this on any computer, regardless of whether it was running a Windows, Linux, or Macintosh operating system, regardless of what web browser was installed, and regardless of whether or not he had permission to install new software.
So that's pretty cool.
But this is a work in progress, and we actually talked to some of the students who were working on enhancing some of the capabilities of Web Anywhere.
In particular, this is Robin Miller. She was a student of Jeff's working on Web Anywhere. Right now, she's at Microsoft. She went and graduated. But she gave us a brief demo of their latest experimental version. So this is even fresher.
But it is reading to you on the screen. Exactly what I have typed in there for the tutorial.
Wow.
And in addition to reading, one of the features we have is that it actually highlights what it's reading in little chunks. It doesn't do word by word, it does phrase by phrase. And it highlights it in black and changes the text to yellow, and at the same time, it blows it up on the screen at the top so that if you have low vision, it's a little easier to see as well. So the tutorial I have, just at the very beginning, just gives a little description of Web Anywhere, and then it starts to tell you the commands. So this first page here is just telling you that you can press the control and / key to bring up a list of commands at any time.
After demonstrating some of the current capabilities, she then went on to describe some of their future plans. And of course, Pete needed to know what tools they were using to put this together. It's quite a list.
So can you change the rate of speech and things like that, too?
Not yet. So some of the things that we were wanting to implement, I worked on fixing bugs all summer.
Okay. Yeah.
But we would like to put features in where you can change the speed and where you could actually change the colors on here. Because right now it's yellow font on the black bar, but it'd be nice if you could actually adjust that. And also if you could change the size of it. It's one size right now.
Right. Yeah, so once you get the bugs out, you can start putting in some bells and whistles.
Yeah.
So how does that all work? What's under the hood to make that work?
A lot of JavaScript files, some HTML, PHP, there's a Perl script we're using.
So it's
Ivona text-to-speech voice. And Sound Manager 2 is actually cutting up the text and sending it off to get the text-to-speech.
Sound Manager 2, what is that?
It's a JavaScript sound library.
A lot of little pieces put together.
And did they have any challenges to overcome? You bet.
We basically inherit all the problems of JAWS, and then we add on a whole bunch of other things. But it works.
That is kind of cool.
Another problem is we've been trying to make it cross-browser compatible, so it works in Firefox, IE, Chrome, all of those.
So it was a neat idea, and they did a great job of integrating a lot of different technologies together. We'll see how that comes along in the future.
But it sure has a lot of promise. Now for this week's high-tech item, a novel application for a digital camera on a cell phone that will help the visually impaired take better photographs.
We can use that when we're on vacations.
We could. A graduate student named Hanji G is working on just such a thing called Easy Snap, and here he is giving us a demonstration and, of course, using Pete as a test case.
My name is Hanji. I'm a graduate student working in Jeff's lab, and I'm working on accessibility stuff, specifically this application called Easy Snap. This application helps people with vision loss to take better pictures. It gives real-time audio feedback, and it also has an accessibility-enhanced album that will label the picture you have just taken with its content, its location, and the date you took the picture.
Then he described some of the various modes in a little more detail.
Easy Snap has help. Three button. Modes.
People.
People button. Mode.
Object
mode. And freestyle. Freestyle mode. Okay, so the people mode.
People.
The people mode is specifically for taking a picture of a people. Mm-hmm. Like, it will detect the face and tell you the location of the face and how much percentage it takes up the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And the object mode,
object button.
It's for taking a picture of anything else, like a computer, like a can, a refrigerator, anything else,
mm-hmm.
Anything other than people. So how it works in object mode is, like, you start from a close distance of an object, just double tap to start tracking, and then you move away to try to frame, and it will report to you the location of the original view, how much the original takes up the screen,
mm-hmm.
and we'll also report to you if the phone is angled down or it's like if it's perpendicular or it's angled up.
Mm-hmm.
And the freestyle mode is just for comparison. So we want to see if this audio feedback does help you to take better pictures, or not.
And of course, I got to be the guinea pig by trying to take a picture of my book port. So Hanji handed me his iPhone, and here's what happened.
What do I do? Double tap again to start?
Double tap to start tracking.
Okay.
Then move around the phone to frame. Double tap to take the picture when you're ready. Object center. Taking up 41% of screen.
Sounds
slightly
good.
Angled down. Center.
Yeah, should be
45%.
Good.
Double tap to take the picture when you're ready. Album.
Okay.
Heading.
It's being taken.
Taken at 72 Devon Road. Rochester.
Right now, the image has been sent to the remote service.
Oh, to the people who are looking at it.
Yes.
And they don't know what it is either.
Maybe, but let's see.
They're thinking, what the heck is that thing she's holding?
It was a picture of remote.
Huh. Remote.
I would believe that.
That's cool. That's close.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
close.
Okay.
What's interesting is how this system works. So, of course, they didn't quite recognize my book port. They thought it was a remote. But what actually happens is the picture gets sent to a service that compares the photo with a database of images that it knows about. And if it finds a match, it tells you, this is a TV, this is a book, this is a chair. If it doesn't find a match, then it sends the picture on to a bunch of human subjects, or maybe one human subject, I don't know. And they make a guess at what it is by actually seeing the picture.
And that service that they were using in this example is called IQ Engines. And you can get there at www.iqengines.com. Jeff, of course, is keeping himself very busy, and he's working on a similar service called VizWiz, which is available at www.vizwiz.org. And here's a description of that.
VizWiz, nearly real-time answers to visual questions. Collaboration between the University of Rochester, MIT CSAIL, the University of Maryland, the University of Central Florida, and the University of Washington. VizWiz is an accessible application for mobile phones that answers general visual questions in nearly real time for blind and low vision people. VizWiz can help users read a menu in a restaurant, detect landmarks in their environment, decide whether an outfit matches, and read the smudged expiration date on a carton of milk to see if it's expired. To achieve this remarkable functionality, BizWiz doesn't employ advanced computer vision or solve artificial intelligence. It offloads the questions to humans on the web. In summary, BizWiz is a mobile tool that both blind people and people with low vision can use to answer general questions about their visual environments. By offloading questions to remote workers on the web, questions can be answered accurately and quickly, and at a price that is either competitive with or less than current automatic services. However, because questions are being answered by humans, almost any question can be asked and answered.
When we saw Jeff at his presentation last year, he did this during his talk and took a picture of the room with all the people watching his talk and asked his phone, how many people are in the audience? And they came back with various guesses, which were pretty close.
So that would be pretty cool. That would have solved Pete's problem when he was home alone trying to bake bread and didn't know which bag of flour to open.
Right.
So instead, he Skyped his sister, which worked. But if she hadn't been around, this would have been really handy. So after this whole elaborate process of how a blind person can independently take photographs, we showed Hanji how we usually take photographs.
I mean, this is how we normally do it. She sets me up here.
And then, there.
Okay.
And that's it. And sometimes I wind up, I'll point the camera and he just stands there like a cute bipod, because he isn't really a tripod, and he'll try to keep the camera pointed in the right direction. But sometimes he likes to point at himself and I just yell, here, 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 and at least, that forces a smile.
You only occasionally wind up without a head.
Oh, I wind up without all sorts of body parts. It's ridiculous. Every picture he takes of me is usually 20 or 30, but they're all digital, so I delete all but one.
Electrons are cheap.
That's right. Do you remember the first picture you took of me?
No.
It was on our honeymoon, and of course that was 28 years ago, and so we had an analog camera because they hadn't invented digital cameras, and we couldn't as cheaply delete dozens of mistakes. And we were in Montreal, and I set Pete up, I don't know how far away. By the time he took the picture, I was sure I was in the middle of it somewhere, but I was really tiny. But with the digital camera, we can, take a picture of a bigger scene and then just crop out what we really want. And so that works pretty well. That's it for this week's show. Next week on Viewpoints, we'll be talking about living with a blind person. So this is really life from the perspective of everybody else instead of the blind person. And we happen to be visiting our relatives and we interviewed all of them. And you'll get to hear from all of them about what it's been like living with Pete. We, of course, all think it's wonderful. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to reachout@wxxi.org or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. This program was hosted by Nancy Goodman Torpy and Peter Torpy. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show by going to our website at wxxi.org/reachout and clicking on the podcast's link. Thanks for listening to Viewpoints, and have a nice day.